Good morning.
Good morning.
Today, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, we follow the order of service printed out in your bulletin. Our opening hymn this morning will be hymn 383, A Great and Mighty Wonder. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
Let us then confess our sins unto the Lord, and look to him for mercy and forgiveness in the plenteous redemption of Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us from all our iniquities. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. For our psalm today, we read Psalm number 96 in unison. O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the wood will rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 370, What Child Is This?
Thank you.
Our scripture reading for today is recorded in St. Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. And I ask you to please stand for the reading of God's word. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Here ends our reading of God's word. You may be seated. We continue our worship by singing "Away in a Manger," hymn number 364. Thank you. I ask you to bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we again ask your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing upon both the speaking and the hearing of your word today, that we might be strengthened in our faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might hold fast to him and to his cross for mercy and forgiveness unto life everlasting. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Today, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, I would like you to invite you to follow along in the Christmas gospel. I thought we would just kind of go through this gospel today, verse by verse. First of all, I want to point out to you that the birth of our Savior is based in a real time and in real history. It is not like, you know, the many Christmas fables and stories that people believe today regarding Santa Claus and the elves and whatever else people may talk about at this time of year. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ happened at a real time and in a real place. We read about this in Luke chapter 2, where Luke, who says that he carefully researched all these things and is giving to Theophilus an orderly account of all the things that happened in regard to our salvation. And so it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And so we see that at a real time and a real place, the birth of Jesus is about to take place. Many have challenged in the past the account in the Gospel of Luke saying, well, Caesar Augustus didn't issue any decree for a census at this particular time. And therefore, the gospel writer cannot be telling the truth. But it so happened sometime later that, you know, in doing archaeological work, I think it was in Alexandria area or in Egypt, a bunch of the declarations of Caesar Augustus happened to be revealed, and it was found out that he, every couple of years, took a census, beginning like a decade or so before the birth of Christ, up through the birth of Christ. And in fact, they even had tablets with lists of people who took the census during the days of Caesar Augustus. The same thing was said regarding Quirinius, or Cyrenius, depending on how you pronounce it, that he was not the governor of Syria at this time because he governed Syria, I believe it was from 6 AD on up for a few years. But then, again, they found, as it so happened, is the case, you know, where they say this could not have happened, and then someone finds proof that indeed it was true, that he governed Syria twice. He governed Syria during a time period shortly before the birth of Christ, up through the birth of Jesus. And then there was a break of like 8 or 9 years, I believe it was, and then he again governed Syria. And so once again, the Bible is proven true, even though people thought to find fault with it. And that's why I emphasize, you know, that Christianity is not based on some myth, not based on some story that's, you know, like, you know, a long, long time ago or once upon a time. Christianity is based on events that took place in real time and a real place. And so we have a problem because in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says that out of Bethlehem, in Bethlehem of Judea, the Messiah would come, the one who was to be ruler over his people.
Mary was in Nazareth. She had returned to Nazareth after spending time with her cousin Elizabeth, and then Joseph finds out that she's with child, and he knows he's not the father, and he's considering whether to quietly divorce her or to bring her before the elders of the synagogue, in which case she probably would have been stoned to death for committing adultery against Joseph. And the angel, of course, appeared to her and told her that, or appeared to Joseph in a dream and told him that the child that she bore, that she was carrying, was to be named Jesus, and that he was in fulfillment of the Old Testament passages that said that, you know, a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and they would call his name Emmanuel. He was to be the Lord himself in human flesh. And so Mary is back in Nazareth, but the child, according to Scripture, is to be born in Bethlehem. Well, you wouldn't normally think that, you know, when Mary is 6 or 7 months pregnant, that they would say, hey, you know, child's going to be born and needs to be born in Bethlehem. We need to take this trip. But God, who is in charge of all things, moves the very ruler over the entire world at that time, the head of the Roman Empire, to issue a decree that all the world should be registered, probably for taxation purposes, and everybody needs to go back to their hometown where their ancestors come from, and there you register. And so, even though it wasn't the best time for traveling, Joseph and Mary, because Joseph is of the house and lineage of David, travel to Bethlehem. And so we see that, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so Joseph is of the house and lineage of David. He has to go there to register. Mary also is of the house and lineage of David. We have Joseph's genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, Mary's chapter later here in the Gospel of Luke. Both go back to David, Joseph through Solomon and Mary through David's son Nathan. And so they go to Bethlehem. It says at verse 6, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. I don't know about you, but every time I heard the Christmas story as a child, they come into the city of Bethlehem, Joseph leading the donkey and Mary sitting on the donkey, and they come in that night and it's late and the no vacancy signs are flashing on the motels in Bethlehem. Maybe not actually no vacancy signs, but in that very night, Mary gives birth to Jesus. However, when you look at the scriptures, it says, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed. And so if you look at the scriptures don't teach that Jesus was born on that very night, but that they went there, and while they were there, and people didn't get in a hurry to get things done, you know, make our DMV offices look fast today. They didn't get in a hurry to get things done. So you go to Bethlehem to register and you might be there weeks until it came to pass. I think of the council in Augsburg, where it was supposed to start on a certain date, but it didn't start till much later because people hadn't even got there yet, you know, and then they're coming and they're trickling in and, you know, it starts much later. And so there wasn't this, you know, punctual time thing at that time. So they spent some time in Bethlehem, and while they were there, the days are completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son. Now notice also that the Bible never says anything about a donkey. She might have walked. You know, we don't know. People often also have the idea that that very night when the shepherds came, the wise men showed up. And yet when you look at the Gospel of Matthew, you find that this is probably a year or two later when the wise men show up to worship Jesus. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The swaddling clothes were a way that you took a piece of cloth and then a strip on the end of that, and you would wrap the child. And it was a common thing for Jewish women, as far as I understand, to wrap their children in this way. But he was laid in a manger. And again, notice it doesn't say there was a stable there. A manger is basically a feeding trough. And in some cases, they were made of wood, and in some cases, they might have been, you know, a rock that's kind of carved out. Again, we don't know all the details, but it's a feeding trough where feed is put there for animals. And we always picture, you know, a nice wooden manger, you know, with the cross beams on both ends and this nice clean hay or straw in there. We don't see that in the Bible either. It is kind of our speculation. Maybe true, and it probably isn't. Probably was just a feeding trough there, and it was a good place to wrap the child and lay the child down there in this feeding trough. You might consider also, especially the women may understand this better than the men. Mary didn't have a midwife with her. She didn't have anyone to help her. And so she's probably doing all this by herself with the help of Joseph, unless she sent him off to boil water or something, something like that. So she's taking care of all this by herself. And to think about Mary probably being still a teenager, a very young woman. And no room for them in the inn. Again, we often think of, you know, motels and hotels, but the inns in those days, and especially in small towns, were not a motel or a hotel. It was just a place where sometimes just a courtyard where people could come, and there might be a well for water there and some shelter to be out of the wind. But there wasn't even room for them there. I always think of this as how this is still true today. You know, the whole world is celebrating Christmas, but there's no room for Jesus. You know, we've substituted Santa Claus and family get-togethers and all these other things, but, and we might read, you know, this quaint story, but there's really no room for Jesus. He's crowded out. There's no room for them, for him, in our lives either. And then we read that there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And so near Bethlehem are shepherds out in the field. Some speculate, and it may be true, that, you know, because Bethlehem is not far from Jerusalem, that these flocks of sheep were being raised by Levite shepherds who were raising them in order that they might be taken and offered as sacrifices at the Jewish temple. And that may be true. We don't know for sure, but they're out there with their sheep, and apparently the sheep have bedded down for the night, and maybe they're around the fire in the dark of night. I think of the dark nights in Kansas when you were out away from the lights and nothing overhead but more stars than you can ever believe that exist. And it says, and behold, or look, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel of the Lord reflecting the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, brighter than the sun, suddenly there, and everything is lit up. And of course, they're greatly afraid. You and I would be terrified as well if we saw an angel reflecting the glory of the Lord. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Some speculate that perhaps it doesn't tell us that this was Gabriel, but those were Gabriel's first words to Zechariah and his first words to Mary. It may very well have been Gabriel here as well. Again, we don't know, because God has tens of thousands of angels. And so an angel comes to the shepherds who are keeping watch over their flocks at night. And normally the shepherds, they have a difficulty. You know, I had a professor at seminary who compared them to truck drivers, and I could relate to that because I had driven truck a lot. But in many ways, they were kind of outcasts, because if you're a shepherd, you can't leave your flocks and herds for a week at a time and go observe this festival. You really can't even rest on the Sabbath day, because the sheep still have to eat, and you still have to lead them out to pasture. You still have to get water for them. And so they were, in many ways, unable to keep a lot of the Jewish laws, especially when it came to going to the temple to worship. And so, you know, somebody, at least somebody, would have to miss, you know, and stay behind to watch the flocks and herds of sheep when the Jewish feasts and festivals were going on. And yet God, in his mercy, sent a messenger to these shepherds, because God's love, his desire for salvation for mankind, is not just for, you know, the rich or the powerful. It's for all, and he reaches out to the lowly here with the shepherds. So the angel says, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings," which is euangelion, the same word used for gospel. You know, I bring you the gospel, really, "of great joy, which shall be to all people." And so it wasn't just for them. It wasn't just for the Jews, it's for all people, includes you and me today. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And so the message of the angel is that that very day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, and they certainly would have known that, is born a Savior, who is Christ. Christ is from the Greek word for Messiah or anointed, the Messiah, the Lord. Now, Lord can either be taken in the, you know, the sense of one who is a ruler over all, which Jesus obviously would be, it is, Kurios. But we need to remember that in the Septuagint, every place where you came to the name of God, the name Jehovah or Yahweh, the Jewish reader would substitute Adonai, which is the Hebrew word for Lord. And in the Greek Septuagint, every place where you have the name of God, which in our most of our Bible translations is Lord in all capital letters, they would put Kurios. And at that time, Greek was written in all uppercase letters throughout. So this very well may be, and it's my personal belief, that when the angel says that this child is the Messiah, the Lord, the angel's not just saying, you know, this is the one who will rule over all things, but the angel is saying, this is Jehovah God himself in the flesh, come into this world to be your Savior, because that's what was promised throughout Old Testament prophecies. It says, the angel said, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, it may not have been all that unusual to find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, but to find a newborn babe on that very day wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger kind of marked, you know, this is the one. And it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so not only one angel, but suddenly there is a whole multitude of angels. And they're praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, giving him all honor and praise for fulfilling his promises to send the Messiah and the Savior. And on earth, peace, shalom. Not peace in the sense that we think of it today, you know, the cessation of wars for 24 hours, giving people time to reload so they can go back at it the day after Christmas. But peace between God and man. One who would pay the price for sins so that sinful human beings could be at peace with God and in fellowship with God. Goodwill toward men is talking about God's mercy and kindness toward men. And Jesus' birth is God's mercy and kindness toward men, that he so loved us that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to die for our sins, to rise again, that we might trust in him and his cross and receive forgiveness and life. And then we read that so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And so they recognize that the Lord God himself, see here, Lord Kurios is again used, but it's not talking about, I think here it's pretty clear, it's talking about Jehovah God himself has made this known to us. But so they don't do like many people today who hear about it and say, okay, well, I'll just go home and do something else and do what we want to do. They were ready to leave their flocks and herds. Let's go see this thing that has been made known to us by the angels of the Lord. And so they came with haste. They hurried. And they found Mary and Joseph, and they found the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying that was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Because you see, what people saw in Bethlehem, those who saw and realized that this child, this birth had taken place, and this child was born, saw just a normal event that, you know, a young woman who's pregnant, came time for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a child. When they saw this child in the manger, they saw a human child. But the shepherds came and said, this is not just an ordinary son, because the angel of the Lord appeared to us and a multitude of angels, and the angel told us that this is none other than the Messiah, the Lord, Jehovah God himself in the flesh, and that because he has come, you know, he would be the Savior for all mankind. He is, as we talked about in Bible class this morning, that seed of the woman who had crushed the head of the serpent. He is the Son of David who would reign forever on David's throne. He is the one who would come to redeem Israel from all his iniquities. He is the one who would suffer and die, because the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, and then again rise, that people might trust in him and receive forgiveness and life in his name. And so while most people saw just, you know, the earthly side of things, the shepherds told them the message of the angel, which revealed who this child really was. This, of course, teaches us a lot about our role as Christians in this world, because many people at Christmas time will hear the Christmas story. You know, it may even be, used to always be read on TV. It may be still be read on TV. And people talk about the birth of the Savior in Bethlehem. But people don't realize who this child is. This child is none other than God himself come into this world to be our Savior. And the people who heard it marveled. They were amazed to hear that what they thought was a normal event in human history is none other than the Son of God. Apparently some believed and others just marveled at the story that they were being told by these shepherds and did not know what to think. We read that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She knew who this child was because the angel had told her. Joseph knew who this child was. And so here is one more thing that happened for Mary to just turn over and over in her heart to think about. In the same way as we as Christians need to be pondering and thinking about what God has done to provide for us salvation. There are so many things. It's easy to kind of become defeated and to have doubts until we start looking at the scriptures and see all that God has done to provide salvation for us. And we need to be thinking about those things. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. You know, they told everybody, and then they go home praising God, going back to their flocks and herds. I guess not necessarily home. Maybe that was home for them. They go back praising God, and my prayer for you is that you will return to your homes praising God for what you have heard today. That child born in Bethlehem was none other than God himself in human flesh, and that he came into this world to pay the price for your sins, to rise again, and that through faith in him, you have forgiveness and life. God grant that to you for Jesus' sake. Amen. We continue our worship by bringing forward our offering. I ask you to please stand and join in prayer. O merciful Father, we thank you and worship you for the gift of your only begotten Son, born into this world of the Virgin Mary, a true man, that he might fulfill all righteousness in our stead, and then bear on the cross the full and just punishment for all our sins, and rise again on the third day.
O Christ Jesus, Son of God and Son of Man, we worship and praise you for humbling yourself to be our Savior and Redeemer, for partaking of our flesh and blood and humbling yourself to the point of bearing the iniquity of all, and dying on the cross that we might be pardoned and forgiven and have life everlasting through faith in your name. O Holy Spirit, we thank and praise you for revealing to us who Jesus is and what he has done for us in our salvation, so that we might trust in him and be saved from the judgment to come and from the eternal punishment we so deserve on account of our sins. Strengthen and keep us in the true faith and saving, that we might be spared on the day of judgment and partake of the eternal joys of Christ's everlasting kingdom. O gracious God, grant that we hear the good news of our Savior's birth, share it with others, and go to our homes rejoicing in the salvation you have provided for us in the Son. Grant to us the peace of sins forgiven, the joy of fellowship with you, and the certain hope of the eternal blessings of heaven. We pray for the people of this world that they do not miss the true reason to rejoice on this day, but that they come to know and partake of your grace and mercy in Christ Jesus, our Savior. We lift up to you all who are sick or suffering in any way, and pray for your merciful kindness upon them, your healing touch and the strength to endure all that you would permit them to suffer in this world. We remember especially today John and Karen, Linda and John, Joyce, Carl, Harley and Donna, Ron and Lois, Lee and Tim. We ask you, O Lord, to accept our praise and to hear our petitions for Jesus' sake. Amen. We join also in the prayer which our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 366, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. Thank you. I read to you the words of institution from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And again, I invite you to come forward. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Now may this holy body and precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. You may be seated. We sing Silent Night, which is hymn number 363. And then following the three verses, if we could sing the verse in German, I was going to ask Christina, do you want to do a solo for us?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Well, then you'll have to forgive us if we don't pronounce things right.
I will, absolutely.
I told them you'd want to.
In the shower, in the morning alone, that's about it. I slept the best then.
Okay.
Which one are they doing, the one down at the bottom?
We'll do the one down at the bottom.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender. Janet, can I borrow your phone?
Pardon me?
Can I borrow your phone? Can we call Carl back and all wish him a Merry Christmas? Would that be all right?
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I wondered if we could. I'm serious.
You really want
yeah,
to?
Yeah, would love to, because I don't think I have his phone number to call him ever. So if you can put it on speaker, can you put it on speaker?
Well, I think so. Hold on just a minute. Oh my goodness.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, there it is. He did call.
No, you're not going to answer.
Probably having breakfast.
Okay. Well, when you talk to him next, tell him we all wish him a Merry Christmas.
I will.
Okay. Sometime I'll have to get his phone number and call him and talk to him.
Okay. You want his number?
Yeah, I could.
I'll give it. I'll write it down for
okay.
you.
Okay. Okay. And a blessed Christmas to all of you. And next Sunday we'll do the same thing with our. Instead of having a special New Year's Eve service, we'll just have our Sunday morning service. And hopefully Mike and Kathy will be able to be back then, and Lee as well. Any other announcements this morning? Not a blessed Christmas to you. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.